From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in Psalm 119. The subject of that psalm is the Word of God. In this series, Dr. Cairns focuses on verses 9 through 16 as he expounds the theme, Living Clean in an Unclean World. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Mouth Confession, Heart Belief. The text is found in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There must be confession with the mouth. Have I made it? Have I openly avowed my faith in Jesus as the Savior whom God has raised from the dead? And have I done it in God's way? Let me honestly answer this question. There must also be belief with the heart. Do I sincerely believe in the risen Lord Jesus? Do I trust in Him as my sole hope of salvation? Is this trust from my heart? Let me answer as before God. If I can truly claim that I have both confessed Christ and believed in Him, then I am saved. The text does not say it may be so, but it is as plain as a pikestaff and as clear as the sun in the heavens. Thou shalt be saved. As a believer and a confessor, I may lay my hand on this promise and plead it before the Lord God at this moment and throughout life and in the hour of death and at the day of judgment. I must be saved from the guilt of sin, the power of sin, the punishment of sin, and ultimately from the very being of sin. God hath said it, Thou shalt be saved. I believe it. I shall be saved. I am saved. Glory be to God forever and ever.
Thank you.
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, let The Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, "A Humble Attempt to Promote Explicit Agreement and Visible Union of God's People in Extraordinary Prayer for the Revival of Religion and Advancement of Christ's Kingdom on Earth." Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. Today, Dr. Cairns continues the seventh in a series of messages on the theme, Living Clean in an Unclean World. The text for the series is Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues to deal with verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. The emphasis here is on the believer's thought life. In commencing this message, Dr. Caron spoke of the action of godly thinking. The psalmist said, I will meditate. Meditation on the Word of God is almost a lost art among Christians in our day, and yet it's of the utmost importance if we would truly walk with God. Then Dr. Caron discussed the direction of godly thinking. The focus of the psalmist's meditation was God's precepts, or God's law. As Dr. Caron has shown, there are a number of reasons why this should be the practice of every believer. For the law of God was given to guard us, to guide us, to govern us, and to gratify us. It is as we meditate upon God's law that we learn of His holiness, which is the transcript of His character. And now to bring God's Word for today, here is Dr. Alan Caron's.
I'm going to make the blunt statement that if you are not willing to be governed by God, you are not saved. I know that goes against much of modern evangelicalism, where you can get saved today and you can go on for years without Christ as your Lord, and you can come to have Christ as your Lord some other time. Don't you believe it? Unless Christ is your master, you are not His disciple. And unless you're His disciple, you are not a believer. And unless you're a believer, you're not saved. There's no way around that. So can there be a Christian who does not desire to be governed by God? I say, no, there can't. But how can I live under the government of God? Well, the psalmist is saying, I will meditate in thy precepts. I'm going to fill my mind with what God directs. I'm going to think it over. I'm going to chew on it. I'm going to extract everything I can from it. Not to discuss it, but to obey it and to do it. And I have to say that we meditate, godly thinking meditates and focuses on God's law in order to gratify us. You see, if you're saved, I've said the law of God is written in your heart. The psalmist says in Psalm 37 and verse 31, the law of his God is in his heart. And every time I quote that verse, I always remember to give you Spurgeon's little comment on it. If you've heard it before, forgive me for somebody who hasn't heard it. Beautiful little summary. The law of his God is in his heart. Talking of God's law, he said, in the head it puzzles. On the back it burdens. But in the heart, it delights. The law of his God is in his heart. As Paul said in Romans 7:22, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Now, you come to study God's law. We did a prolonged study some time ago in the Ten Commandments. I don't know if you can remember a lot about those. It took me a very, very long time to come to be ready to preach on the Ten Commandments. I knew how most people dealt with the commandments, and I did not want to deal with them that way. I always felt there's something missing. The commandment says, do this, do this, do this, do this, don't do this, don't do that, don't do the other thing. Well, if that's all I was going to do, why do it? Everybody else has already done it. That's part of it. I would have to say for a number of years I pondered this and could not get even clear in my mind what I felt I needed to do. What it was that would get me to the heart of the Ten Commandments. I was sitting in Houston Airport actually where finally it all started to come together. I had a number of hours to pass between flights. I must have been coming in from Phoenix or someplace, and they parked me there for a number of hours. I had two great highlights. I was hungry, so I got a really good hamburger. America's best possible contribution to world cuisine. And I mean that. Followed closely by a real good chili and a real good pizza. But that's by the way. I don't mean I eat a hamburger and then a chili and then a pizza. Man, I'm getting in too deep here. I better be careful. Then I sat down and I'm pondering this, going over and over in my mind. And some things began to click. I got my pen out and started to write. And that entire study then got mapped out in the next 30 minutes. What I wanted to do was to take the law and see it in the light of the cross. The law, the cross, and the Christian. Not three distinct segments, but three very closely interrelated subjects. Christian living, fulfilling the law by the power and in the light of the cross of Christ. In other words, I was trying to get to the great heart of all Protestant theology, all theology indeed, which is a proper understanding of the connection and the relation between law and grace. How far I succeeded, you will have to be the judge. But in that meditation, I wanted us to see more than a command. I wanted us to see the law of God, first of all, as showing us God's holiness. It is a transcript of God's character. And as we meditate upon His commandments, what we are meditating upon is the very character of our God. Is there anything more beneficial for a Christian than getting to know his God? Why are Christians so weak? Why are we overthrown by temptation? Why are we derailed by persecution? Why are we so impotent in the face of satanic attacks? Why is there so little spiritual power? I tell you, the reason is we know a lot of things. People go to seminary. They learn Hebrew. They learn Greek. They learn apologetics. They learn church history. They learn interpretation, Old Testament, New Testament. They learn systematic, biblical, polemical theology. They learn it all. And if that's all they learn, I would to God they'd never bothered going. The Bible never tells me the people that know their Greek and their Hebrew will do anything. Now, they have done a lot. And I'm grateful for the scholars who have given us the translation of God's Word. I'm not denigrating their scholarship at all. But the men who do that in the realm of scholarship are men who know something more than Greek and Hebrew. The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. The crying need of the hour is preachers who know God. How often have I quoted from this pulpit the words of the great Scottish philosopher Thomas Carlyle? When the new minister went to visit the great man in his home, trembling before this man of letters, one of the most famous men in Europe of his day, he said, "Sir, what do you think this parish most needs?" And I've never forgotten Carlyle's response. He looked at the minister and he said, "Sir, this parish most needs a man who knows God other than by hearsay." We need preachers whose knowledge of God is not what they've learned in a textbook, however valuable that information may be. We need preachers who know God. We need elders who know God. We need Sabbath school teachers who know God. We need Christians in the workplace who know God. You'll get to know God as you meditate on the transcript of His character. The law shows the holy character of God. And thank God it shows the grace of God. That may sound strange. Some people see no grace at all in law. Well, if it's a covenant of life, there's no grace. If it's do this and you live, that's not grace. But the grace of God seen in the law is that God not only said this is the standard of acceptance with God, but He sent His Son to fulfill the standard. And when you study the law, you must never study it apart from Christ. When you study the righteousness of the law, you must never study it apart from Him who is our righteousness. He fulfilled all righteousness. When I come to the law, as I pointed out in a former study, I look at Deuteronomy chapter 10 and I see God said, you take two tables. The first ones were broken in your hand. Bring these to me and I will rewrite them and place them in the ark. That ark is Christ. And in Him resides the unbroken and perfect law of God. I will meditate in Thy precepts. Is there anything can gratify the heart of a Christian more than seeing Christ as his righteousness? Seeing that Christ has fulfilled the law of God for me, and in doing so He has provided for me a seamless, spotless robe of righteousness, the garments of salvation. God's law, I will meditate. This is the direction we read this morning in Philippians chapter 4. Here's what a Christian should be thinking about. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise. Now let me ask you, is there anything of which those descriptions are more apt than God's law? Especially when you see that law fulfilled in the gospel of Jesus Christ. These are things that delight. Christian, I would to God we could get away from thinking of God's law as some repressive force. How the devil has sold this lie that God's law is some repressive force meant to take the joy out of life. Far from it. It's to guard us, it's to guide us, it's to govern us, and it's to gratify us, to give us a joy and a peace, a delight in Christian living.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.